One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great program, part 12 of the 20 and 12 and the pyramids. And tonight we're going into the explanation of a new world order during these times that astrologically and astronomically we are entering the time of Jacob's trouble. We believe that. So it has to have a celestial reasoning event starting at a particular place. Well, what better place to start it than he that declared the end from the very beginning? In this sense, we're talking about our Creator who made all things and declared the end from the very beginning. And tonight we're going to give you the opposites of the New World Order. I don't know where you know this. Very little is spoke about this. The righteousness of a New World Order. You ever thought about that? That our Creator is going to bring about a righteous New World Order. I can't wait. But the problem is the lower states have to come before the higher state. Now, if you look at the New World Order, you could compare it to the four seasons, the order of fall giving way to winter, and the spring giving way to summer. So we're right here in the opposites of the righteousness and in Yahweh, there is righteousness, and he has a righteous kingdom coming. But he spoke to Daniel about four world empires, Gentile, and he said that these Gentile empires would rule in a evil order, with Satan sitting at the head of these governments. Nebuchadnezzar was the first one. And so as time went by, we see that the new world order for righteousness is coming into view. There's a new world coming into view. Praise Yahweh. So then, let me give you a little analogy here about the tabernacle pattern. But let me show you something in the opposites. It's the paradox that I'm going to talk about tonight. You call a friend and a neighbor because we got a good one going for you tonight. And it's part 12, very timely to get into the master plan of 12 and bring about this revelation of 20 and 12 at the point of crossing that we talked about last night. We're coming into the time where we can look at Solomon's wisdom when he said there's a season for everything. Now, peace and war. To everything there's a season, and there's a time and a purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, but there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and a time to pluck it up. It's time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Isn't it marvelous? A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Oh my. Time of war and a time of peace. So then, these principles of opposites, each of them producing a paradox, is the four major kingdoms that is to rule. That is the kingdom of Babylon. And then we had the kingdom that finally took over from Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon to the Medo-Persian Empire, and when it gave way to the Greek Empire, and when the Greek ended, the Romans took over. Now, there's a continuation with that Roman Empire. We're still in the Roman, although you think that the deadly wound that the Messiah inflicted upon it, that it died. But the Bible said that its deadly wound was healed. That means that Yahweh give us a choice to see which one that we would serve, and we took the evil world, new world order. We took that evil new world order. We didn't take the good one. So, let's go to the tabernacle. I want to show you something that I learned this a long time ago, that the tabernacle, and studying in the book of Numbers, that the first thing that I found out, that there was three compartments to go with the three divine principles of the sacred number three, which begun, if you will, an evil new world order. And each one of these governments have projected this evil new world order upon us for each generation. Now, if you look at the three compartments in the tabernacle, would you believe it that the court round about is the first thing that you approach when you come to the temple? Did you know that the court roundabout, it was a round circle, a place where you came, it was the circle of the altar. Now, the second place was the holy place, and that's where you cleaned up. That's where you washed the laver and things of this nature, inside the building. And the third one was the most holy place. Now, these three states, or three different positions into the temple, one outside, that's where we are in the flesh man, they represent the states of consciousness and to whom we serve or to whom we yield our members. Now, if you look at it symbolically, but I will try to place it into your mind, that the most holy place and the holy place compartment represents a heavenly or a spiritual state of mind. When you get in Him, you got to go into the building. In this case, it's a reverse because you are the building. And when He comes into you, it represents the most holy place. He dwells, if you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He dwells within you. Now, if you're outside, you are in the courtyard where you are preparing yourself and trying to move from the symbolically state of carnality. Outside, it's a hellish, earthly state of mind. And you need to put off that carnal mind, because if you've got a carnal mind, you can't serve Yahweh. You've got to come into the holy place. There is the first place of order that you would, after repenting outside of that hellish carnal mind, you walk in and the first thing to greet you is the laver. Now, it represents your change of walk. They washed their feet. Everyone that came in had to wash their feet. Yahweh didn't want to leave any of that hellish, earthly state of mind hanging in on your body after you had repented outside in your own realm of, see, you can repent. You've got to repent. So that state of mind has to change, and you come into the holy place and you wash. In this sense, you are baptized after repentance, and then you are made whole to enter the holy place, because no one would go into the most holy place without washing. Now, I said the other night on WWCR, when I've been teaching on these aspects about repentance and baptism through the great name, see, this state of consciousness outside would represent your mindset to believe a lie and be damned. Although you try your best or pretend that you're in the holy place and that you're seeking the most holy place when you don't strive lawfully. Now, the priest would leave the one compartment and he would enter in to perform the different functions that would in actuality symbolize a new state of mind or a new world order. For example, in the court, round about, the priest offered up animal sacrifices. He offered those up on the brazen altar for sins, and he washed the animal sacrifices and himself at the brazen laver, but in the holy place he offered up incense. You see this? He lit the 7 golden candlesticks, and he ate the unleavened bread off the golden table of showbread in the most holy place. And the high priest, who now approaches the most holy place, he sprinkled the blood toward the Ark of the Covenant on the Day of Atonement. All this is symbolic. Moving from the courtyard about to the holy place and the most holy place represents the spiritual principles of going from an earthly to a heavenly state of mind, or from an evil new world order to a spiritual righteous new world order. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we enter in and choose this day who will serve. Now, let's go back to the deliverance. When in Egypt, this is another symbolic manifestation of revealing to you that you have a right to choose. choose this day? Are you going to the, you know, we hear so much about the evil New World Order. We don't really think about in terms of a righteous New World Order. Come out of her. That's coming out of that state of mind where you're out there in the courtyard looking in. Behold, if you was to accept his offer, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Your decision. Can you choose which order that you want? Now, when Israel migrated from the bondage of Egypt, which is the court round about, or that is in the wilderness, seeking your way, the Bible said to see and ask for the old path. Well, Israel wandered 40 years. And 40 reduced to 4 represents the day of choice for rest, the Sabbath. You see, when they entered the promised land, they no more wandered round about. You see that? That represents the court, the roundabout court of the outer altar where you must repent, where you must offer to him your heart, your mind, your soul to escape what's coming up on the world. Now, if the New World Order was evil for 40 years, they got bad reports, and they had to wander around and around and around. It took them a whole year to make a round. 40 years they wandered round about the outer court in the carnal mind. Can you see that? They were in the carnal mind, not in a state of inward to the holy and making way for cleansing and repentance after they come in to go into the most holy place where they offered the incense. That sweet smell, the cleanliness, the righteousness. Now, we got a lot of people that approach him, and they don't clean up. They don't really love Yahweh. It's manifest. You can tell people that really love Yahweh. I know one as soon as I see it. I see the zeal. I see their ability to cast off the carnal, placing everything within the temple of their own understanding to escape the carnal mind, and they become a spiritual constant state, leaving the earthly or the hellish or the lower state of mind. They are now in a new world order. All things are new. Praise Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, at the point of crossing, this is a demarcation line. We are now at the point of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. And the hope of this is that after we get through wondering, after that the times of the Gentiles in the evil orders, you see, each one has been ordering a new world order. They're promising you liberty when they themselves are corrupted from being outside in the court round about trying to get a government that would please a few, because the actual new world order plan is to reduce the population and to destroy those things that we hold most sacred. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know good and well that Satan is a liar. And that by Satan becoming a liar, unfortunately for the people, because in the corner of mind, they can believe that lie. They believe the promise that the New World Order is going to have a plan to make it better for you. But now listen what they've got planned. In a nutshell, they are planning the righteous demise. Now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know, you just got a fearful and a superstitious mind. I'm not afraid to die as gain of what the Bible said. And I know that when it indicates, now I know that long the whole world basically has adopted the Bible as their comfort book, a place to keep their deeds and their important papers and things. They keep it on the coffee table, and they claim allegiance to this book without studying it, without being called, without being qualified. They're still out there in the carnal mind, thinking that they are in a new world order state of mind, which they're not. Now, notice this. The agenda of the planners, these are the secret ones that I've talked about in this series, is to reduce the world's population to a sustainable level. And that means that they're going to pick and choose. The undesirables have to go. That'll be you and me. If you are seeking the end state of the mind, to love Yahweh, not to love the world, not to believe the world and the things of the world, for he that loveth the world and the things that are in the world, that's in that carnal state of mind, and a constant promise you liberty and give you death. It's a perpetual balance that they're seeking with nature, the green earth. They want to get rid of the undesirables so that they can clean up the earth. Now, they've got a plan through population control, and this is set on the things that they would like to have sitting in Georgia, right outside of Georgia, Atlanta. They have this great monument. And we talked to you in the first part of the series about this and the dark agenda that is being imposed even while we speak. It is now no longer a secret because they very brazenly and very boldly speak about their plans. They think that through a mass culling or riddance of the people by Planned Parenthood, already happening in China, India, some of the overcrowded nations, and those nations that have the technology, they're using toxic adulteration of water and food and the release of weaponized man-made viruses, man-made pandemics, mass vaccinations, and a planned final third war that I've told you about. It's coming. Albert Pike told you back in the late 1800s, a third world war. Now, the dark agenda is for chaos. And out of the chaos comes order. And these overlords of chaos come through you, veil the communist plan agenda, who now we are friends with, by the way. China is our leading manufacturing production, and we import more things from China than any nation in the world. It used to be our sworn enemy. Russia, the agenda of Mr. Khrushchev, who said, we will take you over, America, without firing a shot. And it looked like it was just opposite because it seemed like the Soviet Union fell and was no more. And we bought into that through Mr. Gorbachev, who Mr. Reagan said, tear down this wall, and they did. And then they flooded their ideals and their socialist standards. They adopted it. We thought they adopted a democratic, a democratic, a demoncratic. Ladies and gentlemen, that we had this type of government since 1776. Well, if you really go deep enough into it, it looks like men of corrupt minds planned this government to be set up to eventually fail through the campaigns, because basically we've been wandering outside in a carnal mind under Christianity, which is rotten to the core. Basically, it is a New World Order agenda imposed with a 501(c)(3) chip and an understanding that the world government, the world religion, the world army, the New World Central Bank, no, look out, dollars. You people that's got your dollars, you better convert. You say, well, what am I going to use? Well, you better get some just weights and measures. Come out of her, my people. Do you know who's got the largest central bank in the world? The Catholic Church. They're rich. And they're in cahoots with the world, New World Order Bank. And most of your government bigwigs, or your high rollers, or the people with all kinds of money, they don't keep their wealth in Switzerland like we were led to believe that people do in offshore accounts. They keep them within the Vatican Bank. And they impose these restrictions. They are outside the world court. They don't have to meet the agenda of the world court. Therefore, their mass fortunes are safe. While they impose the drastically reduced world population, and then they have what is called a world government and a world religion and a world army and a world central bank, a world currency, and a microchipped population under control. Well, that means if they got their plans and they all come to fruition, and believe me, Jacob will tell you, this trouble is directed against a people who is called by his name, who love him inside the temple, inside their heart. They have now given away the carnal mind. They've left the state of carnality. They've sold out. They've left the world. And the world's angry because they feel threatened. And they will eventually, their plan is to rid the earth of 90% of the world's population and to control all aspects of the human condition, and thus rule everyone, everywhere, from the cradle to the grave. Now, that's the New World Order. Now, notice, when we talk about the New World Order, the new religion will manifest through organizations like Masonry and Freemasonry. It's embedded at the core of the secret heart of the occult mysteries, wrapped up on number, metaphors, and their symbols. And these men today who are promoting the gospel according to the New World religion of evil, through its ancient mysteries, doing everything in secrecy, planning the demise of the people of Yahweh, and the whole war will be to rid the earth of Jacob's seed. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, your imagination is so stretched beyond reason. In the Aquarian New Age One World Religion, written by Marilyn Ferguson, she has a book that I read years ago. And she talks about the secret societies, or the closed conspiracy. will now in this day become an open conspiracy, where we are now far beyond the goals that we set in a secret closed society. You see, it was a closed New World Order, and now it's an open New World Order, and they do not care for you knowing about it. And so then, when they produce their friends and neighbors, for instance, I could give you a guideline in the 10 guides of the 10 commandments or the guide stones in Georgia, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Unite, here it is now, here is the number one problem. Unite humanity with a living new language, a new world order language. Rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. That all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a one world court. You got that? See, the United Nations was formed by Russia and the United States. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Get rid of those that we don't need. Balance personal rights with social duties. In other words, everybody's going to have a production above a certain rule, or they will rid you as an undesirable if you don't contribute it to society. The last one was, be not a cancer on the earth. They're going to determine if you are cancerous to their cause. Leave room for nature. And then they repeated that last one. Leave room for nature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, government abolishing the sovereign nations so that they can break down the will of the strong nations, starting with America. They done got the rest of the nations in line. Russia and all of her satellite nations are now in a League of Nations. The European Council of the 10 to 13, I think it's 13 now, but it's reduced to 10. And they will establish a world government with population control, reproduction control, eugenics, and they're going to euthanize those undesirables. They will watch the environment and keep you in relationship to nature. And they will establish a new religion, worldwide, sustainable development with the earth charters compiled under the direction of those who advocate this new world order by doing the things that they propose. We must focus on creating citizens for the good of society, and each child must produce to the state. William Sewell, professor of education at the University of Virginia, spoke this in 1981. A human being, a skyscraper, an automobile, and a blade of grass all represent energy transformed from one state to the other. The energy that they embody doesn't disappear. It is merely transferred back somewhere else into the environment. No longer can we be judged capable of conversion into work that is undesirable. Energy can only be transferred to a dissipated state, meaning that they will now see how much room you take up and how much you would put energy into the system, for everyone must produce. and the right to have children should be a marketable commodity bought and traded by individuals, but absolutely limited by the state. Wrote that in 1910. Kenneth Bolin. I got the impression that instead of going out to shoot birds, I should go out and shoot the children who shoot birds. Paul Watson, co-founder of Greenpeace. Ladies and gentlemen, the human person and the planetary citizenship must be given absolute priority over national citizenship. Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the UN and founder member of the Board of Planetary Citizens, who has advocated a one world religion to go with the one world government and therefore founded the World Council of Churches. And he also suggested that the UN flag be flown on all churches and that a universal Bible be written to satisfy all creeds and faiths. What's the plan? A new world order and a new world religion and a mark to secure it for the control of those who participate. Those who resist will be found in violation of the rules and they will be branded as undesirable. They will be forced labor workers, scum, and those who insist to speak out will be killed or rid in some way through the New World Order designed to do away with those who resist. Fundamental Bible-believing people do not have the right to indoctrinate their children in the religious beliefs, because we, the state, are preparing them for the years when America will be part of a one-world global society and all their children will become workers of the state. Derek N. Scherer, longtime friend and economic advisor to Bill Clinton. Putting people first. He was the ambassador to Finland in 1994 and the author of the New Social Contract, written in 1983. Listen to this one now. Peter Hoagland, Nebraska state senator and a humanist, speaking on U.S. radio in 1983. For instance, in November 1942, Rabbi Michael Dovier Westenmaal, a Jewish activist, approached Adolf Eichmann's representative and said, how much money would be needed for all the European Jews to be saved? And his answer was, he went to Berlin and returned with an answer. For a mere $2 million, they could have all the Jews in Western Europe and the Balkans sent to be a courier to the World Zionist Organization in Switzerland, but his request was refused. And in his book, The Age of Dictators, he described the body of wickedness lying beneath the thin skin of Zionism, and he relates how that the Zionist Party was the only other political party tolerated by Hitler during his reign in Nazi Germany. Zionists and Nazis have a common interest. Ladies and gentlemen, the ancient plan to transform society. Are we now in the time where the New World Order is being looked at in the New World Order? where we have the point of crossing. We're going to, and, you know, when people tell you that the world's going to end in 20 and 12, don't believe it. It's not going to happen. We're going to go into a time of a new world order brought to you courtesy of all this organization and all of this chaos that they're producing. The destiny of mankind in a long time to plan that the unity of the new world order will bring in and unite all nations and regions in transactions beyond their individual capacity, where that we shall form one ideal, one religion, and one order to rule everyone. And in this, the psychology to rape the mind and to lower the resistance and train the children in school to accept the Zionist cause and the communist cause coming out of Russia. And it teaches that there can be no successful revolution in any country unless we first render the United States helpless to third world status, where we can finally, at last, fulfill the dream of those in the New World Order and the cause of Zionism to promote through the Communist Party, now known as the Socialist Movement, whenever possible, use the teachers and the unions as did Lenin and Trotsky, and the party will have an interest in education and the teachers' union, where the progressive education will raise up and change the minds of the children and remove all of these things that have been placed there by the fearful and superstitious people of America, who are still armed and dangerous, and we must, by all means, get busy on the manifestation of the 6,000-year Luciferian conspiracy for world government. The ancient evil agenda seeking the destruction of all natural moral law on earth, removing that to place in man's mind the higher cause is to serve those who sit atop of the pyramid. Ladies and gentlemen, the New World Order and those that have now sit themselves down in the upper echelons, where they now wait for the people to worship them and to obey them as robots after being brainwashed. I believe that if the people of this nation fully understood what Congress has done to them over the last 49 years, they would immediately march on Washington. They would not wait for an election. It adds up to a preconceived plan to destroy the economic and social independence of the United States. Senator George W. Malone, in a speech to Congress regarding the elite bloodline families that secretly own the Federal Reserve and control the finances of the West, and that's in the Congressional Record in 1957. You think he would live today? I don't think so. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that our government, according to General Douglas MacArthur, said in 1957, our government has kept us in a perpetual state of fear with the cry of grave national emergencies. Always there has been some terrible evil at home or some monstrous foreign power that is going to gobble us up if we do not blindly rally behind the state or the government and do their will. General Douglas MacArthur died in 1964, spoke it as he commanded the Allied forces in the South Pacific in 1957. We should all, with all loyalty to the United Nations, teach that the world organization should be revised to take some aspect of a system of world government and world law, therefore the psychological foundations for the wider loyalties that is now required for a new world order. We must change the minds of our children and teach a curriculum that will point them toward obedience with their attitudes toward the ultimate result of the creation of a world government. Dr. William G. Carr, past executive secretary of the National Education Association. That's what we've got, ladies and gentlemen. Ruling, and you send our children every day to be indoctrinated for the new world order. We don't know what we're doing. Give us your minds when you're between ages of 5 to 10 years of age, 5 years of indoctrination, they say is all it takes to change and remold the thinking of the child as he leaves home and becomes a member of the curriculum to brainwash him. For us, indeed, there is no longer foreign affairs and foreign policy, since affairs belong to and affect the entire world, and so they are essentially local affairs for every nation, including our own, to come together and merge into a one world order. Dwight D. Eisenhower, J. Edgar Hoover, a world order without world law will never work. Since war now means the extinction of a civilization, a world which fails to establish the rule of law over the nation, states cannot continue to exist. Therefore, we are living in a perilous period of transition from the era of the fully sovereign nation state to the era of a one world government. We must initiate a deliberate search for methods and means by which American children may best be educated to be responsible citizens, not of the United States, but of the world. James P. Wartburg, CFR member, globalist and organized jewelry insider, part of the Wartburg banking dynasty, wrote that in 1959. America is reaping the consequences of destruction because we march outside in the 40-year trek of tribulation. We will not go in to tear down the walls of this new world order of evil and accept to go into the temple of the new world order designed by Yahweh, and until we humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of Him that set up the good new world order, which is coming at a time that the evil think not, we're going to overcome the world. We're going to walk and we're going to talk and we're going to praise Him in a righteous state where we ourselves will know and understand that Yahweh is the rock of salvation. He's the truth. And a few there be that find it. It's going to take a few that's going to stand up in the latter days where we're going to take back the order of our faith, walking in boldly to the throne of grace, leaving the outer court or the outer mind or the carnal mind and go into a spirit state where we can walk in liberty without fear and without torment, where we run and rule in righteous states. And Yahweh said that He would give us the desires of our heart. And for you that are waiting, praying, and seeking for a new world order, walk in. Get out of the carnal. Get out of the outer court. Move into the spiritual state of mind. And in that day, when we come into faith, when we come into perfection, when we know the difference between a new world order of righteousness and a new world order of evil, let's choose this day who will serve. Well, I gotta get off here. You know, my time is coming gone, and I have thoroughly enjoyed my visitation with you tonight on part 12 of 20 and 12 and the pyramids. We're sitting tonight, ladies and gentlemen, ready with those who are sitting at the top of the pyramid. But remember, it didn't have any capstone. The capstone was rejected by the builders, and they refused to set the righteous New World Order at the head of the kingdom. But let me warn you, as Nebuchadnezzar warned all of those future governments like his own, he said it is Yahweh that sets up the governments and takes down the governments. Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen, that after Satan comes, listen how it's going to play out, after the year 20 and 12, sometime after, shortly, we're going to have a period of a new world order of evil. The main objective is the 30th chapter of Jeremiah and the 7th verse. Let it be known right now that I stake, standing on the word, that he shall be delivered. Although there will be a remnant, Yahweh will intervene with his kingdom and coming from heaven in flame and fire, taking vengeance on the evil ones of this new world order who refused to come in after the invitation, who would still rather walk around in the wilderness before they would give in to the righteousness and bow their knee and confess him. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a healing of a new world order of righteousness, and it's coming. But first of all, I must warn you that there's a long, rugged, rough road. Some of you are going to be delivered up into the synagogues. You're going to have to give an allegiance to Yahweh or deny him. If you're one of them, you're going to deny us. If you're one of us, you're going to deny them. You're going to choose. And Yahweh's going to move and give you so much faith and power in the last day that you would count it an honor to lay down your life for his name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. I really feel that in my spirit. Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And you can call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. We'll be waiting for your letter. We need your support and help. We're sponsored tonight by Brother Paul out of the great state of Michigan. 1-800-253-2748. Tell Brother Paul that I sent you. He needs your help. He's a businessman. He's a poor man. He's an Israelite. He's like the rest of us. He's poor and needy. Sponsored also by Brother Mark in the great state of Mississippi, along with Brother Bud and Brother Edward. And they choose to remain anonymous in their telephone calls, yet all they are interested in is just supporting the broadcast. Praise Yahweh. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow night. Praise Yahweh. On the radio with WWRB 3.185, now no longer being transmitted on 3.185 to some people's disappointment, because 50-50 is being interfered with a lot of people that tells me around the country that 50-50 is being interfered with a radio station that's very close to the frequency of 1550. If you're having that trouble, give WWRB a telephone call. Brother Dave knows how to get around these things, and maybe he can make it better reception for you if you're listening by the way of shortwave. And if you're listening tonight by internet, we're also simulcast on live around the world internet. So we love you tonight. Go to our website. Brother Bob is really getting on it. We're moving up in some of the aspects of our new website. You can still visit our old website. That's Pastor Buddy there on the website with Bob as our webmaster. And it's under the name of OneYahweh.com. Go there and click in, and we've got messages. And we've got articles, and we've got documents being printed and placed there by Brother Bob for your reading pleasure. And it would take you probably a year to go through our website. It's that big right now. It would take you longer than that to listen to the messages that we've got up there. And they're free of charge. Just go there. And if you'd like to have a track on the name of Yahweh, and you can't go to our website, call Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to have a calendar, the lunar calendar, call Pastor Buddy at your convenience, and I'll make sure you get one. Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock around the world on WWRB 50-50.